B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You guys have seen a couple of rookie quarterbacks already this year. How is Mac Jones compared to the other guys that you've seen?
I think he's good. He's confident back there. He's got a good command of the offense. But, you know, we're really going to try to make the game one-dimensional and see what he can do. So we're excited for the challenge.
Well, well, well. Here we are again. Well, some of us. Zoe's back home again today. Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
You all right?
Your test great.
Test was negative, I heard?
Yes, sir.
Well, wait
that's good news. We'll take that.
Why are you at home? I don't get it.
Oh, I got around 9:25. So I didn't know if you wanted me... Sometimes they're delayed, sometimes they're early, and I didn't want to chance it.
I'd actually prefer you get in the car right now.
That's what you told me last night that you were going to do. If you got the test like at 9:25, you're just going
to I said 9. I talked to Jim. I said 9:05 is about the cutoff point to where I could get to work on time.
So who made the final call, you or him?
Me and Jim.
I don't know. You or Jim?
You go get Jim. Jim said that probably sounds like the best thing to do.
Stay home?
See you in work tomorrow.
Oh, no, I don't like that. Now I've got a bone to pick with Jim.
Why?
Because I'd rather you be here late today and be here in person.
Ooh.
You know, I almost
doesn't everybody want that? The traffic has been very light. I think a lot of people have time off right now for the holidays, and a lot of offices have gone back to remote for the time being between Thanksgiving and Christmas because of the cases rising. So traffic has been very manageable. I would have preferred you come in and be late by a few minutes. That's what I would have done.
I'll be really late now.
All right. Well, let's do the damn thing.
What are you going to do?
No, I'm not.
No, it's Jim.
I'm just sorting through it. That's all.
Time-wise, didn't add up with the timing of the results. I said if it came in early before 9, boom, I was gone.
I would have said 9:30.
Yeah.
I said 9:30. 9:30, 9:55.
The way he drives?
Yeah, the way you drive, Zoe? You could be here in like 15 minutes. Could be here real soon. We'll get you an escort.
Yeah.
We'll get you an escort here to the station. All right.
What's her name?
Funny. All right, let's get to it. The Colts are talking, Zoe. You were fired up yesterday seeing some of the things that were being said. You think it's trash talk?
I don't think it's trash talk. I think this is talk coming off a bye. Now, this is a unique situation. Both teams are coming off the bye. So it's not like, hey, they're sitting there waiting for you. Because they've been on the bye, you're going to be the team that's played a couple games. You might have a tough time handling. Nah, both teams coming off the bye, both teams ready to go. Everybody sitting back watching football over the weekend. And there's only really three teams in the AFC people are talking about: Chiefs, Patriots, Colts. And you play the Colts in prime time on Saturday. And now you got one of their best defensive players saying, we are going to make this game one-dimensional. Oh, we're going to shut the run down. That's what makes the game one-dimensional. By the way, so he's kind of like taking a shot at Jones. Hey, we'll see what he can do. We don't know what he can do, but we know we can shut their run down. We'll smack them in the ass. That's the way I took it. Now, I don't think that's trash talk. I think that's confidence. I think that's swagger. I think that's something like you'd hear out of the Titans. But it's going to be a good one. This gets it stirred up early. It's
all
good.
Right. So we've already heard some of Bobby Okereke's comments on Mac Jones wanting to make him one-dimensional. Here's a little bit more where he gets a little more X's and Zos for you. So
Patriots obviously have a good run game. You guys have been pretty good against the straight, you know, when teams run straight at you, but have a little bit more trouble with the counter stuff. What do you see out of their run game, and what do you think the run defense needs to do to, I guess, be a little bit more consistent?
Yeah, they got a good amount of mixers in there.
run a wham, trap, counter, power. So traditional runs, really just, I guess, for me and linebackers having our eyes right, play downhill and, you know, just be the more aggressive physical team.
Oh, my God.
Wham.
Oh, wham runs.
I want to go get my helmet. I want to get my helmet downstairs and suit up outside today. Go hit a wall.
Brenton Shrewsbury's going to run.
Wham.
You see them run this trap play. Football. All right. So here's what I'm excited about. So this is a team that wants to take away the Patriots running game. So number one, the Patriots know this is the case. I love how they're just telegraphing this, right? I mean, not that it's not sort of obvious to what they right. want to do here in this game, but they're saying, no, this is our goal. We want to take away the running game of the Patriots. We don't want them to be able to do what they did against the Bills going back a couple of weeks. We're not going to let that happen to us. They're not going to control the clock. They're not going to run the ball. They're not going to do what they want to do. Throw the football, Mac. Perfect conditions, indoors, on the road, though. So there are, I still think there's the potential for a little bit of noise, a little bit of a, you know, crowd because you're indoors. And so here it is. You got to win with your quarterback. You got to win with your quarterback's arm on Saturday yep. night. And can the Patriots do it? This is a test for them.
Hunter Henry had, what, 15 snaps last week? Then you went to the bye. The receivers and the tight ends should have fresh freaking legs. Not a lot of running. Not a lot of physical play in that game against Buffalo. N'Keal Harry played a ton of snaps because he was blocking. And Jacoby Myers. But guys like Bourne, guys like Aguilar, you got a chance to try to get the ball into their hands early and get some speed going. Get some big play capability going. Let those guys know they're going to be a part of the game plan. It's not going to take three quarters to get these guys involved. Get them involved early. That's what I want to see.
I want to see that too, just for like an entertaining football game. But I think it'd be even more demoralizing early on to a team that's talking about like being able to stop your run. And what are you going to do? Go out there and run it anyway.
Yes.
Now we're indoors and now we can air it out. You know what we're going to do?
Find out.
We're going to run it down your throat and we're going to pick up 4 or 5 yards on first and second down and set us up on third and short. And then maybe we'll throw a little pass to kind of mix things up a little bit. And we are going to. Now, listen, this is all fine and good because we know that the Patriots are going to take what's given to them. There may be a script for the opening drive, but beyond that, they're just going to play whatever the defense is telling them to. However, if you want to have a game plan, I would like to see them go out there and just run it anyway. Yep. Do you have to run it on 94% of the plays? No, but why not run it a majority of the time again? You've got the willing backs. You've got guys who have proven themselves so far this season. And if you want to keep anything in your hip pocket for the later games later on this season, all right, you have an idea what you have in Hunter Henry, and you have an idea with Jacoby Myers. I think you already know that. I think those guys are pretty much known quantities at that point. Let's continue to run the ball a little bit. See how that works out for you. See how you like that, Colts.
Yeah, and by the way, the Colts defense, they want to take away the run, but they're a middle of the pack team. Mm-hmm. They're 17th in the league against the run in terms of yards per game. They're not exactly this great run stuffing team. In fact, they're not that much better than the Patriots. How would you say the Patriots have been against the run on the whole this year?
Up and down.
Yeah, they've had their troubles at times.
Yep.
They've had their issues.
Especially over left side.
The Colts are giving up 111.8 yards a game. The Patriots are right behind them, two spots back of that, at 114.5.
Yeah. See, they just got done watching film of the Buffalo game, and they're sitting there saying, we are not going to let them run the ball down our throat like they did. So that even is less a shot at Mac Jones, make it one-dimensional for him. No, that's a shot at your offense saying, you guys can't do that to us. Let's see. I'm with you. Buckle up. Let's go.
Yeah, the thing I do like, even though, as I said, I don't think it's a lot of trash talk.
It's not.
But I think it will be perceived that way down there in Foxborough.
Oh, Bill will spin that. Sure.
They'll find a way to put that up on the bulletin board and spin it into something. And that is not a bad thing for a team that is coming off the bye and needs to get jolted back into playing football games again.
See that? They don't want you to be able to run the ball and score touchdowns. Do you have any idea how disrespectful that is?
Isn't that all football trash talk? Like, we're going to beat them. Well, yeah. I mean, what do you want them to say? We're going to lose.
Punch in the mouth.
They have ideas of how they think they can score more points than us.
That disrespectful. That is disrespectful. We are not going to stand for that. We will not do it.
Oh, God.
And the Bills, I'm sorry, the Colts, as I said, they're a middle of the pack team against the run. They gave up 142 yards a couple of weeks ago to the Bucs. I mean, they've had games where they've given up plenty of yards on the ground. So they haven't had the best track record in that regard of stopping teams. But we've got plenty more to get to on this. Patriots and Colts. And Josh McDaniels spending a little bit of time talking about the passing game yesterday. But also, can the Patriots secondary hold up over the course of this game and the rest of the season with what they have? Are they going to be able to be good enough for this team? We'll talk about that. That's all on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We'll take your calls on anything. Call us here for sports. Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, so use my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together.
Zo, I miss having you here, bud.
I know.
The off-air conversation is lacking.
I wonder what the hell's going on.
I know. I was just telling Artie that I got roped into watching 40-Year-Old Virgin last night.
Oh, my God.
On HBO.
Oh, you poor thing.
It just roped me right in. Could not watch from the very beginning. I watched a full hour of it at like midnight last night.
It's those last 20 minutes.
I didn't get to that. I shut it off before it went that far.
Yeah. On the bike.
617-779-0985, the phone number. What were you telling me, T-Bone? You were telling me something there.
Yeah, that's not important. It's my song birthday.
Oh, we're going to do that today now?
Yeah, since he screwed it up yesterday.
I felt bad, so.
Oh, guilt. A guilt birthday day.
Oddly written music back then. Can you guys hear me okay?
Can hear you fine.
Oh, good. Okay.
Why, is everything okay?
I can't hear myself in my ear.
Oh, we can hear you.
Hmm.
You can't hear yourself at all?
La, 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 la. Yeah, it feels like my ears are clogged. Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, there we go.
You turn the sub up.
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Turn the sub levers up. You'll be good.
Is that too loud, Tom?
Let me know.
He turned himself up. He turned himself up, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you see sub 1 and 2 on there? Is that?
I see all kind of buttons.
Is it labeled sub?
Oh, I go for sub today.
Look across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn those up.
Ah. I got to pick it up. Wow. Okay.
What box does he have? Does he have a mixer there or no?
Yeah, no, I got that box.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah.
Never mind. I thought you had a full mixer there. I thought you had a full setup. I thought when the engineers visited your home on Friday, they had brought a whole van full of equipment.
I thought it was DoorDash.
My mistake. Greg Bedard writes for the Boston Sports Journal, can the Patriots secondary hold up? That's what he says. When Stephon Gilmore stayed on the PUP list at the start of the regular season, the Patriots could take solace in knowing they still had J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones at cornerback, so they could largely stay with their man-based scheme. With a month of data on their roster, including newcomer Jalen Mills, the Patriots decided they could do without Gilmore, and they traded him. And then over 2 weeks later, Jones had shoulder surgery and was lost for the season. So, he says, you can get away with playing zone if you generate a lot of pressure. If the quarterback can sit back and wait for targets to float from zone to zone. Oh. But if the quarterback is forced to get rid of the ball quickly, that plays into the coverage's hands. And that's how the Patriots have played great pass defense since the Cowboys game. In that loss, the Patriots generated pressure on Dak Prescott, a season low 17.54%. So let me sum all this up, Zoe, and ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is it the Patriots' pressure on quarterbacks that has made their secondary look good this year? Is it a mirage? Is it fake?
No, it has. It has because you're playing more zone. You understand? So, like, it's easy for quarterbacks to drop back without pressure, find zones, and throw the ball in there. That's when they give up the big plays in zone, is when that front doesn't get to the quarterback. When they just do a little bit enough to get them off their spot, I think that's where the Tannehills, the Allens, the Sam Darnolds of the world don't have great days. Patrick Mahomes, that's another thing. See, the plan that you had against Kansas City the last couple of years has really worked for you, even given their speed. Now, you come out and you say, I'm going to play man against Kansas City. I think you're toast. I think you're going to get smacked. That's the only offense I look at of the remaining games, because I throw Kansas City in there because I think you'll see them in the playoffs at some point, that I go, oh, wow, I don't know how we match up with this team.
So in looking at the pressure rates, the Patriots, as Greg Bedard writes, again, Boston Sports Journal, have not failed to generate at least 23% pressure. Since that point, they had high rates against the Chargers. 50% of the time, Justin Herbert was pressured. 50% against the Panthers. 47.4% against the Falcons. They have averaged pressure on the quarterback on 35.4% of snaps since that Cowboys game.
Wow.
That is remarkable. And he says, there is no question that Judon and Barmore have been the key to all of this. That goes back to one of my sticking points on this season, that Matthew Judon has been more impactful for this team than having a quarterback again. That is my belief with this Patriots team in 2021. And that's a good little statistical backup there. He has changed the way this defense looks. And, I mean, I'd like to know historically when the last time the Patriots went on a stretch of pressuring the quarterback at this rate over a sustained period of time. That's not always what they've been about, though. And so here they are, over this stretch, being able to pressure quarterbacks, help their guys in the secondary, and so this is what it might just come down to. Can they get pressure on quarterbacks from here on out, whether it is in good conditions against Indianapolis this coming week, when they clearly have some healthy players to throw the football to and won't have wind to compete with, or it's here in Foxborough against the Bills in a rematch next week? The pressure is going to probably tell the story of this Pats defense. It's going to determine how good they look. It's going to determine how well they can cover up the guys that they lack from a talent perspective in their secondary. I think all those things are true about this team.
Could even change second time you have Buffalo just because of the fact that Josh Allen has turf toe now. So you want to get him on the move a little bit. Get him stiff. Get him flushed out to the right. You know, move him back to the left. Don't let him sit in the pocket on one foot. That foot was bugging him late in that game. He tried to hop around on one leg. So you got that with where you could game plan things now.
They're calling it day-to-day with his mild turf toe for Josh Allen. But
I guess Lamar Jackson is supposed to play too.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as if it were all that serious. Hmm. Well, what are you questioning with the hmm?
Maybe should have went back in.
I was going to say, whenever that happens, you then say, why couldn't you get back in the game at some point?
One, you get the ankle. It's immediately listed day-to-day, and you could probably play next week. Why don't you tape it up and shoot it? See, but, you know, him and his whole game is predicated on cutting. And, you know, off that leg, probably hampered him a little bit.
Not everybody can be Zoe and shoot it up.
I shot it up. I still didn't play.
Shot it up just for recreational purposes.
I screamed at him, it's broken. It is broken. They're like, it's not broken. Put the damn 15 shoe on.
It's broken.
Oh, my God. They shot the whole thing up.
Are you going to have to amputate it?
No,
it's taped
actually
it like
fine.
A mummy. They taped it like a mummy. I couldn't feel anything in it, and I had a size 15 shoe on it, like a boot.
And they still didn't let you play. After all that.
There. Yeah. I said, I can't play. I'm done. Season's over. Mm. Oh, bought skis that week.
Why was that the good week to go buy the skis?
No, we had like 3 weeks left of the
season. Okay. It was pretty much over at that point.
We weren't going playoffs.
Pretty much over at that point.
Had a good sell to Ski Barn.
Well, there's your answer then.
Courtney, what's that M stand for?
Manolo. The golf guy on Instagram. I've showed you Manny before.
Yeah, you have. That's what the M stands for. He's worn that hat before.
Yeah.
I did not expect to see a Dropkick sweatshirt, though.
Well, it matches. I got the white and green, and then I, you know, kind of reversed the colors up top. But one has nothing to do with the other, even though it's a script M.
Very similar.
But different.
It's Evandro! Ship me up to Boston!
Oh, that T-Bone was playing.
No, that's Zoe. That's Zoe doing his Dropkick's impression.
That's his Ken Casey impression.
Yeah, that's what it is.
What?
Yeah. That's what that is.
Do they still tour? Seriously.
Yes, of course.
Oh, good.
What, did you think they were retired?
No. You haven't heard much about them.
Well, I believe we gave away tickets to one of their shows.
Oh, God.
A few weeks back.
Aren't they playing Roadrunner?
They're playing at the new venue.
Yeah. Well, I think we gave away St. Patrick's Day shows.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-0985. Biggest concern for the Patriots, is it that secondary, Zoe? What's your biggest worry about this team going forward?
Judon's health. Period. The health of two players. Red zone defense.
Yep.
I'll get into the red zone part of it. But the health of J.C. Jackson and Matt Judon. It's like the guys you can't afford to miss.
Yeah, you're sort of buried without those two guys.
Yeah. It's like losing a quarterback. Yeah. But red zone, I mean, they're going to give up yards. I expect them to play better teams as this thing gets cranked up, especially into the postseason. They're going to give up yards. But it's really, what do you do in the red zone? How do you get off the field in the red zone? You get some of these shoddy kickers that they're going to be in some of the game plan. Got to be able to go get guys like that once they crack inside the 20. Guys like Tannehill. Say you got Tannehill. You can't let that type of guy come in here and excel in the red zone. You know, even Josh Allen, you frustrate him a little bit in the red zone. Tampa did the same thing to him. The only thing he did is really hit Knox on that one touchdown. But he wants to expedite his throws. He wants to get it out quick. Not a lot of thinking going on up there. Just make a decision and throw. So, you know, Mahomes is problematic, though. Like, you've played him well in red zones, though. You know, Patriots always have a good plan for Kansas City, whether undermanned or not.
Yeah, I think if everybody is healthy on this team, then you start to assume that the health is not a factor. Where's your worry at that point? Is it simply red zone defense and getting off the field?
Stopping a run. Don't get pushed around. Don't let what Tennessee did to you. If a team like Tennessee comes in here full health and pushes you around like that and came out of here with the belief, oh, we match up pretty good against them. I know it's not our day today, but we come back here fully loaded. We're going to kick their ass.
All right, we'll talk about this with you, 617-779-0985, but also Celtics last night and what they accomplished at TD Garden. We'll get to that coming up after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's
a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was getting shaky out of the West Coast. The Celtics, who had barely trailed by 20 all year, trailed by 20 in the final three games of the trip. Defense kind of came apart, but funny what some home cooking and a day of rest will do as the Celtics welcome the defending world champions to Boston, and they beat them for the fourth time in five tries. A successful return for Jaylen Brown, 42 for Jason Tatum, And the Celtics are back at 500 with a bunch of home games coming up. The final score, Boston 117, Milwaukee 103.
This is a Christmas song right here. Christmas 617-779-0985. How about those Celtics last night, fellas? What do you make of that win at TD Garden? 117-103 over the Bucks.
Pretty resounding victory.
They're back. Oops, excuse me. All right. Yeah.
You're declaring them back, so?
No. But one guy's back, and I think it helps immensely. Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown plays, gets his minutes. Now all of a sudden you don't have the double teams, the triple teams on Tatum. Tatum ends up with what? What did you just say there? 42? 42 points? You know, when he's playing healthy and he's back together with these guys, you got something. It's not going to be perfect every night. But this is typical Celtics, though. Beat the best teams in the league in the regular season in the one-off. They used to be able to go out to L.A. They used to be able to go out to Golden State. They used to be able to go down to Houston. Same thing in Toronto. They're pretty good in the regular season against the really good teams. Brad always had them playing well against them. A lot of people watching that game with the Bucks.
And credit to the NBA on a night where a lot of people were watching the Celtics. You know, no Bruins last night. Patriots have been off for a while, getting closer to Christmas, the unofficial start of the NBA season for a lot of people. Credit to the NBA for having these rules in place where they stop play at the end of the third quarter to review what may have been a flagrant foul on Bobby Portis against Grant Williams. Were you guys watching when they stop? And so, yeah, he did take like Grant Williams and like take him down. So what? Either call the foul or don't.
Are you going to tell me NBA review is bad?
Oh, Jesus. It's we're getting with like 2 minutes left in the third quarter. Now, this should be crunch time. This is where the game, if you are on the fence as to whether or not you really need to give your attention to the NBA, this is the time of the game when you should be able to tune in and get some excitement. Way to just suck the life out of that game. I had to turn it off. I came back like 20 minutes later to watch the end. But I was so frustrated watching that, you know, oh, was that a flagrant? I don't know. Let's turn the monitor around. Let's go to the scorer's table. So nice job on that one. That was good entertainment last night. Appreciate that.
So Boston gets a win last night. Milwaukee came in winners of 12 of their last 14 games. And here's what I've discovered. I don't know if Ime Udoka is going to be a great Celtics head coach. I have no idea yet. No one does. Here's what I do like about him, though. He's different from Brad Stevens. Sounds like Ime Udoka can be a bit of a hard ass at times and can sort of give this team an ass kicking. And it sounds like that may have happened after their road trip. You guys have probably seen the story this week about Chris Mannix wrote about it today. He says on Sunday, less than 2 days after a disastrous 1-4 road trip, Ime Udoka gathered the Celtics in a dark room inside Boston's practice facility and made them live through it again. All of it. 5 games, 100 plus clips. How many clips? 100. More than 100 different plays he made them watch. Mannix writes, bad defense, worse offense. Donovan Mitchell raining threes. Russell Westbrook flexing after unimpeded drives to the rim. It was an animated film session, says Udoka. Says Jason Tatum, it was what we needed. It wasn't time to sugarcoat anything. And then they go out and they win last night. And their offense looks good. And Brown is obviously back. And the defense was good. And the Celtics were a better team last night. So the question then will be, you know, does this become some sort of jumping off point? I don't know. We've been in this spot before with this team where they've had good wins over good teams and it meant absolutely nothing. So only time will tell.
It's tough to get anything emotionally out of this team. You talk about a jumping off point. That has to do with the emotion and the feeling within the team. Jason Tatum looks the same. Jason Tatum looks the same and behaves the same way last night when he's dropping a season-high 42 on nights where he, you know, stumbles a little bit and only scores 18.
Perfect like, transition, Hardy.
Oh, okay.
To this.
Okay.
This is what Ime Udoka said yesterday about Jason Tatum and what he has told him as of late.
You know, quite honestly, I gave Jason examples of what I used to say to Kawhi as a young rookie and respecting guys too much at times. I told him, these guys aren't your older brother. Don't treat them like that. And he took it to heart and, you know, came out in attack mode tonight. But it's across the board, our whole group. We know what we have to do to be effective. And if my guys know me, you know, I'd said I'm the most competitive guy. And I want to see that reflect on you guys. And so, like I said, they took the tape to heart, bounced back tonight.
How about that? So after the game, he reveals that during the course of all this review and looking back, he tells Jason Tatum, hey, you know these guys that you play against? Yeah, they're not your older brothers. Stop treating them like that. Stop having so much respect for the opponent. Stop being friends with everybody. Start being an a-hole for once.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's going to work, right? It's sort of hard to change someone's DNA and how they act. And so, Hardy, the thing you're referencing, how does that change? I just want to say this. At least somebody's trying. At least somebody's making an effort to tell this guy in no uncertain terms, you're not here to look good. You're not here to be friends. You're here to, over everything else, win games. Stop having all this respect for the opponents. Go out and do damage. Too much respect. Not enough mean.
Do damage. That's Red Sox.
But there's always been an element of that, and I think for most players in the NBA over the last 5 years or so, they don't want to burn any bridges with any good players around the league.
Yeah, he said it was a problem with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, we all agree Kawhi Leonard is one of the great players in the league, yeah. Right?
Right.
It's a problem with that guy.
Right. So none of these guys necessarily want to make enemies with someone that they could end up on a super team with 3, 4, 5 years down the line. That's the business of the league. But for Tatum, his attitude is remarkably consistent. You know, win, lose, or whatever. Last night, 42 points. He was an assassin last night. He couldn't miss. They're finding him with the extra pass to bury a three-pointer. Two plays later, he's down on the baseline. Just effortless. And his demeanor does not change. Mm-mm. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but if you're talking about it being a jumping-off point, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if emotionally this team changes all that much.
But I think that's bad.
Doesn't.
I think that's bad if the demeanor eventually doesn't change. And as he becomes more mature and into his prime, because we saw it with Jordan. We saw it with Kobe. You even see it with LeBron. When LeBron gets pissed off and wants to take over a game, he takes over a game. Even Kyrie had a little bit of that. He's a floater, man. But like that's his night, though. And he's going to have big nights like last night. It's the nights when he sort of vanishes defensively or doesn't get everybody involved. And maybe he's only got 28. Everybody else is struggling. Does he recognize that I've got to do something to pick these guys up? You know, I got to put this team on my back. And I hope that Udoka is a little more energetic with his delivery when he gets after him. So if they're in there watching those 100 clips, is he just watching them, talking to them like he's talking to us as we're going to go over each and every play here again? Or is he lighting their ass up? Because maybe he is, and maybe it's working behind closed doors. That's what we wish for, and that's what we hope for.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up on the Celtics and the Patriots as well. And once again, we've got a Boom Boom Games gift card to give away and qualify you to win a PS5 or an Xbox. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom, boom, boom. Gotta get that boom.
That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. That boom, boom, boom. Yo, I got that hit to beat the block. You can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll. That future.
Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a $100 Boom Boom Games gift card and be automatically entered for the chance to score a choice of a PS5 or Xbox Series X. Boom Boom Games and Bill Ricker, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They have a new store opening in the same plaza in early 2022. Boom Boom Entertainment, with arcades and tabletop games to play. So they're going to be having an expansion there of the Boom Boom Enterprise.
Nice.
That's what's going on. But if you're caller 10 right now, you'll get the $100 gift card and then be entered for a big prize, PS5 or Xbox Series X.
I'm sure Ben at a store has the gift that I think every guy our age wants. Where,
what is it?
You get the Yankee Swamp gift for $25, $30. You go in and you get the one mini console. It's a block. And it's got one joystick on it, and it's got a fire button. And it plays Pac-Man. It plays Mrs. Pac-Man. It plays Defender. It plays Centipede. It plays Atari. Plays Space Invaders. Plays Galacta.
Is it Mrs. Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man?
Ms. Pac-Man.
All right. And Galaga?
Galaga.
Yeah. That's what everybody wants? Those games suck. What game?
I know those games suck, but to take one plug and just plug it into your TV and sit there and play the old games you used to play.
I got the Nintendo.
It's cool.
You know when the mini Nintendo came out and it was like, oh my God, Nintendo. And then you play it and you're like, you get bored after 10 minutes.
I got the Atari game as an auction prize from your thing.
A number of years back. Yeah.
It's fun for about 8 minutes.
Right. It doesn't hold up anymore. No,
what do you got, Pong?
You're just not excited by it like you were 25, 30, 40 years ago, whatever it
now,
is.
Now, having said that, I still love Galaga so much so that this Christmas, Santa, I hear, is bringing to our home one of these arcade one-up machines.
You're getting a one-up Galaga?
Galaga / Ms. Pac-Man, and then it's got like, I don't know, a dozen other games in there which are, you know, much.
Yeah, I looked into a modded one-up machine. I was talking to Rich Shirtley about this a couple weeks ago.
I'll be over.
We were talking about it, and it's got like, I don't know, it's got like 1,500 games on it. They load everything under the sun on them, but it was a little pricey.
How much?
It was like $2,000 the guy wanted.
No.
I'm like, no, dude, the machine's $400. I can buy all the parts, but that's a pain in the ass. I don't want to do that, and I'm not exactly the best, you know, electrical engineer here to put all that together. I'm not doing it myself.
Yeah, mine was.
If it was like $1,000, I might be in.
I ordered it like a week and a half ago. It was there 3 days later, and it was, I couldn't believe how inexpensive it was.
But if I'm at that point, then I'm saying to myself, well, what I really want is bubble hockey. That's what I really want. I really want a Chex hockey. That's what I really
talk about being bored quick.
That's a dream right there to have one of those.
Yeah, but do
you? I could play that for hours, Hardy. Hours.
You think so?
Yeah.
You
in fact,
yeah.
I was down at Mohegan like 3 or 4 months ago, and I found out they have a game on there, and they have one, and my cousin and I went, and we played for freaking hours.
Hmm.
You could not get us off that machine. Yes.
Love it.
Good times.
I love that. What? We're drinking the whole time. You would have sat there with us.
They got one down here at Seasonal. I'm telling you, you're looking.
Where?
Seasonal on Route 1.
They got a machine in there?
Yeah.
What do they sell it for?
They get the bubble. I think it's pretty pricey.
Yeah, they're not cheap. Got to buy one used.
I'll go in there. I need some weights.
Which version do you want?
Super Chex. That's the version. That's what you're going to get.
What do you want? The Czech Republic versus the Russians?
Oh, Super Chex. Chexx.
Yeah, Hardy. Look at that price tag, Hardy.
I mean, you're not getting one for less than $3,000.
Nope.
That's a lot of money.
I can carry that thing.
Think about the hours you'll spend at it, though.
I will. I'm not kidding. That's why I think it would be a good investment. I will use it a lot. I love it. Problem is always having someone else who wants to play with you. But I got three kids for that very reason. You're on the machine, kid.
Again.
We're playing a best of 27. Let's
try to play. Just schoolwork away.
And then when you're done, your brother's up next. Let's go. Oh, it's so fun. You don't like bubble hockey? Like that?
Oh, I like it. I just can't ever envision myself spending hours.
I would rather play the bubble hockey than play a Nintendo, you know, or Atari throwbacks. Like, forget that stuff.
I think of it along like the same lines of as foosball. Like, after a while.
Foosball sucks.
Okay, it's kind of the same.
Nah, it's not the same. Please don't compare them. Please don't compare
them. It's a little the same.
You don't have the ball rolling around as everyone's trying to get a player on the ball. It's different. The puck is always within reach of at least a player in bubble hockey. Always.
What, and in foosball, sometimes you just have to smash the
Well, no, you get the ball that's rolling around the table, and you've just got sticks that are painted like men.
It's the beautiful game.
It's not a beautiful game.
It's why hockey players are always warming up with soccer.
That's junk.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, let's go to this call. Joe in New Hampshire wants to tell Hardy why he's wrong about Jason Tatum. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's obviously a one-game sample, but I did see a little bit of P&V out of Jason Tatum last night. He hit a three, he hit like a step-back three in this guy's face, and he literally turned around and smacked him on the butt and gave him a smile as he walked away. I think that if anything comes out of Udoka, if it's just Jason Tatum maybe having maybe 5-10% more of a killer instinct than he does now, I think that's a success. And I think we saw a little bit of it last night. When you say he was being passive on the offensive end, I totally disagree with that. If you watch one of the last timeouts in late third, early fourth, he's turning around screaming at Dennis Schroeder because Dennis Schroeder held the ball for 14 seconds and then kicked it to Grant Williams, who missed a three. So he was. I feel like he had a lot of that emotion last night, and hopefully it comes from that conversation he had with Udoka, telling him to stop being everybody's best friend. Thanks, guys.
Okay. We're gonna have to see a lot more of it. Is what it
more
comes
please.
Down to.
On a consistent basis, yes.
Regularly, yes. Every game, every night. Bring that. Mike is in South Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Hey, my question was about yesterday. You guys, everybody was talking about how Mac Jones is and Mac Jones that. You know, give the kid a damn chance. You know, what did Troy Aikman do his first year?
Who's not giving him a chance? Who's not giving Mac Jones a chance?
No. I'm just saying. I'm not saying you guys aren't, but you hear this thing, you know, with Mac Jones.
What are you doing there?
Who is saying that?
It's only his first year, you know.
Who's not giving him a chance, though? I mean, I feel like most people are. He's getting plenty of praise.
I hear a little bit of negative stuff, and it kind of bothers me. But, you know, look what Troy Aikman did, you know. I mean, hey, he won 1-15 his first year, and he ended up winning 3 Super Bowls.
Troy Aikman, his rookie year, 1988-89? What year was that?
Oh, well before me, yeah.
We're going back. How far? We're just going to cherry pick good quarterbacks who didn't have great seasons in their first year? What? I don't get that. I don't get the need to do that.
I don't know.
Troy Aikman was drafted in 1989. Was Tom Landry his coach his first year?
No, Jones fired Tom Landry that year on February 25th, 1989.
Oh, okay. So Landry was
Jimmy Johnson was his first coach.
So that all happened all at the same time Jerry bought the team? What year did Jerry buy the team? Do you have that in front of you?
No, but it's probably pretty easy to figure out.
That's just random NFL history now, but whatever. It's interesting.
Oh, same day.
Oh, so he fired him the day he bought the team, huh?
February 25th, Jones purchased the Cowboys from Bum Bride for
Oh, you got a steal.
$140 million.
Yeah.
Well, in 2020 dollars, he bought it for, it. Just put in 2020 money, $292 million.
Yeah, it's a steal. You got a good deal on that. Okay, so he bought the Cowboys, he fired the coach, and he drafted Troy Aikman all within, what, a two-month period?
Yeah. Troy Aikman, Irvin, and Michael Irvin.
Wow.
Three amigos.
Wow. Mark in Grafton. Hey, Mark. All right. He's not there. We'll try and reconnect with him. Thank you for trying on the giveaway. We have given away the $100 gift card and qualified our winner. We're doing that every day this week at 10:50,
nice.
But we have given it away. So thank you for trying. We'll get back to your calls right after the headlines in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.